Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Dr. Grace, Rick is so accessible. I call him Rickopedia because anytime that I need to remember something, he is a wealth of knowledge, and so that's all fine and good. Outside of his knowledge, he's a great friend, a good, caring soul, and Nancy is a fantastic, fantastic woman of God. Has a tremendous ministry herself, and we're glad to have both Rick and Nancy with us here today. Can you welcome my friend Rick as he brings the word of the Lord for us this morning? Rick.
Thank you, Michael. Bless you. Well, Pastor Michael, thank you for the invitation to come and be with you today. And I want to bring you greetings this morning from your fellow Disciple Heritage Fellowship churches that are around the country. Several years ago, Nancy and I were sitting in a restaurant in the small town that we were pastoring in North Central Kansas. We would go on a weekly lunch date, and we were having our date when all of a sudden, there by the booth we were sitting in, a form materialized, and he happened to be the only eye doctor in our small little community in North Central Kansas. Now, I had played golf with him before, but I was not one of his patients. So I was kind of surprised when he stopped by to talk to us, and he had one question. He said, "Rick, how old are you?" Well, I thought that was kind of a strange question. And I said, "Well, I'm just getting ready to turn 40. And he nodded and said, "You're going to come see me pretty soon." And you know what I thought? No, I won't. I'm not going to come see you. I'm going to put this thing off as long as I can. I wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of knowing that. How many of you wear glasses? Now, for several of you, it's pretty obvious. Some of you wear contacts, have all kinds of corrects. My pride was going, "I'm not going to admit that to this guy." But after a while, I noticed my arms were getting shorter. Been there? You know, you can't get the book quite out there far enough. Went to Walmart. Because they have those for about, $3, $4, $5, you can buy the magnifying lens, cheaters, magnifiers, whatever you want to call them. And I tried that on a Sunday morning. It was great because you could look down and read the text. And then I looked up and you were all blurry. So I took the glasses off and you all got clear, but then I couldn't see my Bible. So, sucked it up, swallowed my pride. Called for the appointment. You know what the first thing he said to me was? "Told you you'd come see me." Now, when you get your eyes checked, what's the first thing after they sit you in the chair that they have you to do? Read the chart. There it is. So he said, "Read the first line." Now, I've got a warped sense of humor. So my first question was, "What chart?" And he looked at me like, "Are you serious?" No, no. Now, I could see the E on top. I was good with that one. The F and P were about the third row. I'm going, "Lord Jesus, give me wisdom and give me insight, because I can't tell you what those are." All right, so I admit my vision had deteriorated, and by the time I finally sucked it up and went to him, this is what the chart looked like. How many of you have been there? Yeah, yeah. The E's pretty good, the F and P maybe, and then by the time I got done line 3 and 4, it was like, okay, I'm done. Now, if you know anything about eye diseases, if you are farsighted, it means you can see far away and you can't see up close, right? Do you know what that's called? Hyperopia. But if you can see up close and can't see far away, what's that called? Nearsighted or myopia. Okay? If you want the technical definitions from it. Both of those are inconvenient. But let me tell you what a tragedy is. A tragedy is when the people of God develop spiritual myopia. Spiritual nearsightedness. My brothers and sisters, we have to fight against a very common tendency in the body of Christ to only be able to see what's exactly in front of me. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 39, specifically. Now, we're going to be reading that text in just a minute, but I want to set the stage for you so the text makes a little bit more sense when we get there. Hezekiah is on the throne of Israel. Isaiah, the court prophet, is beginning to deliver to him a warning that something is going to happen. And the people need to get ready for what is going to happen. Now, as was common throughout the Old Testament, when God's prophet spoke words of warning, the people immediately replied, right? Wrong. God spoke and the people ignored. Now, that's exactly what's going on in Isaiah's day. He has spoken warning. Hezekiah the king is pretty much clueless because he's only looking at what's right in front of him. So in the first 4 verses of Isaiah chapter 39, this is what happens. Envoys from Babylon show up. Now Babylon at this time is a rising world power, but they're not the top dog yet. That's the Assyrians. So when the Babylonian envoys come into the community, the first thing that Hezekiah shows them are his deposits of gold, his deposits of silver, shows him all of his armature, shows him where his army is at, and everything that he's got to equip the army. Now tell me, on what planet does that make sense? None. Okay? But here is Hezekiah, and he shows it all. Isaiah gets wind that some envoys from Babylon have showed up. So he goes to see the king and says, what did you show them? And Hezekiah says, I showed him everything. I showed him the gold. I showed him the silver. I showed him the armament. I showed him our placements. And Isaiah goes, in perfect Hebrew. Didn't know that was Hebrew? It's called, boom. Now, as you can tell, Isaiah is not real thrilled with what Hezekiah's just done. But listen to what Hezekiah says, verses 5 and 6. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace, and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, this is how Hezekiah responds. Verse 7. Oh, goodness. Some of your own descendants, your own flesh and blood, who are born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now, do we need to describe what that just means? Please tell me no. We're in mixed company. Now, how many of you are grandparents? How many of you have decided that if you knew how good grandparenting was going to be, you would have skipped the kids and gone right to the grandparents or grandchildren? Amen? Amen. Now, somebody just told you some of your children and grandchildren were going to become eunuchs by force in a day without anesthesia? How would you respond? Not real good. Listen to the response of the king. Well, the word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, at least there'll be peace and security in my lifetime. Do you hear what he just said? Not going to affect me. Who cares if my grandchildren are going to be eunuchs? I care. Is that spiritually short-sighted? Everybody nod. Yes. Spiritual myopia. Long as it doesn't affect me, doesn't matter. Oh boy, my brothers and sisters, it matters. And it matters a great deal. Now, I want to pause and say, I thank God that's not what First Christian Church in Pittsfield is like. Amen? Amen. You have shared, Pastor Michael, with the Disciple Heritage Fellowship, and I, for one, am very glad because he was part of the team that made the decision to hire Nancy and I to step into this position. You have given. You have given consistently over the years so that churches around the country, so that believers around the country that you will probably never see, you may never meet, can be encouraged and will be around the throne of God forever because of the decisions that you made that demonstrated spiritual farsightedness. Thank you for doing that. But here's the idea that I want to leave with you this morning. I'm going to boil the whole sermon down to the one sentence, and here it is. We need to continually guard against spiritual myopia. We must continually guard against developing spiritual nearsightedness because it is so easy to fall into the trap of Hezekiah. Would you pray with me? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Father, what I have to say to this morning is pretty inconsequential. But what you have to say to us this morning can make the difference for all eternity. So God, I pray that you'd be with us as we study your word today. May the Spirit who inspired the word and guarded its transmission process descend upon us now, that we might come to a deepening understanding of who you are because we have studied your word together. We bless you, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, all that was introduction. Now the sermon gets to start. I left the doctor's office that morning, not with glasses, not with bifocals. I left the doctor's office with trifocals. The more you get, the more you win, right? That shows you how long I stalled and how long my pride got in the way of me being able to see. So my doctor gave me a prescription that morning, and the prescription was for trifocals. God has a prescription for us this morning on how we can fight spiritual myopia. So I'm going to invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. As you're turning there, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to walk slowly through the first several verses, and then we're really going to hone in on verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Okay? So verse 1, like I said, this isn't going to be on the screen, so if you're going to follow along with me, either use your Bible if you got it digitally on your phone, and if you're going to promise me you'll use your phone to look at the Bible and not play whatever your game of choice is. Verse 1. Paul says, my brothers and my sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Now, who in the world are they? The three main churches in the New Testament in the region of Macedon, and you will recognize them, are Berea, Thessalonica, and Philippi. We have three New Testament letters that have been written to the Macedonian churches, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and the book of Philippians. Paul says, I want you to know about the grace, how God is operating powerfully within that church. He is pouring out grace. But go on to verse 2. Out of their most severe trial. Now, did you notice that? God's grace is operative in that church, and they are still locked in trial. Just because God is present among you doesn't mean your life's going to be easy and your church will be without conflict. God was pouring out his grace and the Macedonian churches were still under severe trial. How many of you think you pay taxes that are too high? Do you know what the tax rate could be in Macedonia? 90%. How many of you would love to give 90 cents out of every dollar to the government? Macedonia was also known for its copper mining. The veins were drying up. It was an agricultural area. They were in a 7-year drought. 90% tax bracket. Manufacturing industry pulling out. Agrarian industry in distress. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a severe trial. But that was a church in which the grace of God was operating. That out of their most severe trial, look at their response. Their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Whoa. 90% tax bracket. Manufacturing gone. Agriculture shutting down. And they have joy. Isn't that amazing? So here's the kingdom principle. Our joy is not rooted in our circumstance, but in the power of God. Amen? Y'all still awake? I realize it's early, but you should have got an extra hour of sleep last night. Unless you were with us at the Ten Hikes and we stayed up and visited later than we probably should. Our joy is not rooted in what's happening around us. It's rooted in the presence and the grace and the power of God. Kingdom principle that they had to learn. Here's why that makes a difference. What you focus on will either limit or it will expand your vision. You focus on your circumstance, it limits your vision. You focus on the power of God, it expands your vision, even in the midst of severe trial. That's real good. Somebody should amen that. Should I say that again? What you focus on affects your vision. Focus on your circumstance, vision gets smaller. Focus on the power of God, your vision gets greater. And God's people said, amen. Do you have to beg for the amens? Oh, shut up. Well, then I need to come and learn your secrets. Y'all need to move away while the lightning comes. Okay. They were captured by a vision. Go to verse 5. Here's the one I really want to bring home. They did not do as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Did you notice that? Paul acknowledges that the response of the Macedonians was not anticipated. He didn't expect it. It's almost like he caught him off guard. They did not do as we expected, which means the response that they gave is not natural. It's not automatic. It has to be learned by the people of God to be able to respond to the grace of God, even in the midst of trial. Okay, so here's what he says. The implication is what they did, it just got to be worked at. It's not easy. How many of you love to go to art museums? 1, 2, 3, and a half. Yeah. I love art. From a distance, yes. I don't understand art. Especially this modern stuff that looks like something I did in third grade and got a C on it. Amen? We had some friends of ours that came to Northwest Arkansas. We have a world-class art museum. It's Walmart money's behind it, so you can imagine how it is. And Darren, my buddy, and I were sitting looking at this piece of art, and we're going, what? And my first thought was, what in heaven is that? I did that in third grade, and I got a C. And somebody paid millions for this. Until Darren's wife, Gina, came up behind us. Gina's an art teacher. And she says, well, don't you see that? No. What about that? Do you see the way the colors? No. Well, what about this and the movement that it all points to? You surely see that. No. I had to be taught how to see. My brothers and sisters, there's a kingdom principle in that. And here's the principle. God has to teach us how to see. Amen? Amen. So, God gave a prescription through Paul. Verse 5. They did not do as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. First half of the prescription that guards against spiritual myopia, giving yourself fully to the Lord Jesus. Now, if you've got a Bible you can write in, circle the word gave. It's a key word. The implication in the Greek language, the Koine language of the New Testament, is they gave themselves without reservation and without hesitation. Lord, here it is. I give it all to you. I hold nothing back. It is without reservation. I give it to you without hesitation. How many of you heard about the pig and the chicken that were talking one day? Thinking, boy, we got it pretty good. We're on this nice farm. The guy feeds us every day. And the chicken looks at the pig and says, hey, we should do something nice for the farmer. Pig says, what do you got in mind? Let's give him breakfast. Let's give him ham and eggs. And the pig says, well, that's a nice gift for you. That's a real sacrifice for me. The Macedonians didn't give. They sacrificed. They gave themselves fully to the Lord. Second half of the prescription for guarding against spiritual myopia is to give yourself fully to the body of Christ. This is the horizontal dimension of the faith. First was the vertical. This one's the horizontal. And this one in our culture, stick with me just a couple more minutes. This is the one that's being overlooked in our culture. Because our culture is tending to make participation in the body of Christ optional. Have you noticed that? Oh, I love Jesus. Can't stand his bride. Ouch. Have you noticed people doing that? Ask them, you a believer? Oh, I love Jesus. Where do you go to church? Well, you know, I just don't anymore. I gave up on it. Whew. It's pretty dangerous. Do you hear what Paul said? They gave themselves first to the Lord and to us in keeping with God's will. Giving yourself to the Lord and giving yourself to the body are two sides of the same coin. You cannot, big word, bifurcate or separate those two. It's two sides of the same coin. Did you notice that last phrase? Let's go back to verse 5 if we can. This was in keeping with the will of God. See, God's will is that you give yourself to the church, to the Lord first and then to the church. Specifically what's going on in the church at Corinth, Paul is asking them to give money to the church in Jerusalem. He was asking them to give money to support a church that they would never visit, to support believers they would never meet, to impact an area they would never visit. You understand what just happened? That's the biblical rationale for missions. Right here. Need a good missions text? This is it. They gave themselves to the Lord and to us in keeping with God's will, because they had a vision for the kingdom that went beyond their own immediate sphere of influence. I thank God for you. I mean that seriously. You guys are in a fairly healthy church position right now. And if you do not realize that puts you in the minority, then wake up, my brothers and sisters, because the enemy does not like healthy churches. And the enemy will target healthy churches. And he will target healthy pastors. And he will target healthy pastors' marriages. He will do whatever he can to break up the body of Christ. Guard it. How many of you ever looked at Gary Larson's Far Side cartoons? That name? Okay. I would look at them. I would look at some and I'd break out in laughter. I'd look at others and go, I have no idea. I love this one. Bummer of a birthmark, Hal. Now, it happens to be deer hunting season in Illinois, right? Bummer of a birthmark. Isn't that great? Guess what? Bummer, First Christian Church of Pittsfield. Bummer of a birthmark, guys, because you have a target on you. And if you don't realize that, then you are tending towards spiritual myopia. Because the enemy doesn't like healthy churches. I've been in almost a dozen churches over the last 2 months, and I can tell you this, many of our churches are not in a good spot. So coming here is good. I like this. I like this. Because you're in a good spot right now. Praise God for that. Your fellow churches in DHF need your prayer. They need your support. They need you to give yourself to the Lord and to his body for the sake of the kingdom. Let me wrap it up going this way. Thank you for allowing me to come today to share my heart and God's word. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for the longevity of your involvement in a movement of churches and in many cases, churches you'll never visit, believers you'll never meet, but you will spend eternity with them. And they will come to you and they will thank you for the investment that you made in the kingdom of God. My encouragement for you this week is simply to ask you to spend some time with the Lord this week and ask him to check your vision. Are you becoming myopic without even realizing it? It's very, very easy to do that. Let the Holy Spirit show you if you are struggling. I want to tell you, it is so easy to become spiritually myopic when you're juggling the schedules that we juggle today in our culture. We've got kids involved in sports, we've got kids involved in plays, we've got kids involved in music, we've got kids involved in that and this and that and the other thing. And we are breeding a culture where we don't even have time to catch our breath. And that's when spiritual myopia is a real danger. Specifically, I'm going to ask you to do something. To spend the next 7 days, at least once a day, praying that God grips your heart with a mission for the expansion of the kingdom of God for your brothers and sisters within the Disciple Heritage Fellowship who are not in a good place and who need you to stay in your good place so we can draw them along. Let me close with this. Meredith Wheeler is the chairman of the Department of World Missions at Laidlaw College. Missions, that spiritual vision is not a program of the church. It is the culture of the church. It's not about doing tasks. It's about developing people so that they, at home or abroad, so that they can touch and impact the world for Jesus wherever they are. Would you join me in prayer this week and right now? Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for First Christian Church. I thank you, God, for people of vision over the years that listened to you and as was shared in our meditation this morning, who didn't just ask, what does the church want? They asked, what does God want? I thank you that your voice was responded to as Pastor Michael was called on staff. I thank you, God, that this church has graced him with the time that he needs to be the chairman of the board for DHF. And I thank you, God, for the investments in the kingdom of God that have been made out of this church. But God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for protection. Because of the health and activity of this church, Father, bummer of a birthmark, they're targeted by the enemy. But Father, we resist the fiery darts of the wicked one. Your word tells us that we can lift up the shield of faith. We can extinguish those darts so that the kingdom of God here in Pittsfield and around the world can move forward. And lives will be touched and names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of the ministry of this church. Thank you, God. May you continue to bring blessing and health and the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, in the life of this church to the praise of your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father, and all God's people said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.